And now it's time for Power of Prophecy, continuing the legacy of Tex Mars, exposing evil, and promoting Jesus Christ as Savior. Here's your host, Jerry Barrett.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. I'm your host, Jerry Barrett. Honored to have you join me again this week. I have asked Sandra, our esteemed colleague here, who does all of the graphics, to join me. And we're going to discuss Where's the Logic? This will be Volume 2. Sandra, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Jerry. It's always good to be here. How are you feeling today?
I feel like I got hit by a Mack truck. Did Christmas with the family, and turns out my mom had the Rona. So I have teased her that the only thing she got me this year was the Rona. Leslie and I both tested positive for it Monday night, and we were both suffering through it. No, neither one of us has taken the jab. I refuse to take that gene therapy. But we're doing NyQuil and vitamin C and D3 and some zinc and doing the best we can.
Yeah, you still have a fever?
Probably. You know, I thought I broke it last night. I woke up and I was soaking wet, but I had about 8 blankets on me. I was in my recliner so I could breathe, and I woke up soaking wet and I felt better. Then a little bit ago, I got the chills again. So, it's crazy.
And yet here you are. Duty calls.
Duty calls. Got to get this show recorded. Got to get it ready for WWCR and our webpage and keep everybody informed.
The good thing is with technology, you can do this from your house. You've got all the studio equipment there now, and I'm here in my home because I didn't immediately follow you into the office because of your COVID diagnosis. I did go in and disinfect though. Anyway, but I'm doing this from my office too. This is the same way you interview everybody else. Normally we do this, you come to the office and we record it there when you're interviewing me.
Right.
But through technology, at least you can do the show and go back to bed and rest for a while and then do the editing and as much or as little as you need to do a little at a time.
Yeah. And I really have to give a huge shout out to Cliff and Donna for providing this outstanding soundboard and microphone that I get to use each and every week. They are lovely, lovely Christian people. And I would be at a loss without them. So thank you, Cliff and Donna. Y'all are so sweet. And they continually support the ministry financially with prayers. And, well, Cliff's the one that gave me the idea to do a weekly scoreboard when the Rona was really ramped up and even the flu was diagnosed as COVID. So it's a crazy, crazy time. And you know, I made it 2 years without getting this bug, and then I get it for Christmas. That's a lovely Christmas gift.
But you sound like you're going to make it.
Oh, I'm not going anywhere. We're going to keep fighting, and we're just going to motor on. You know, I did do some of the inventory. The reason we shut down this week was so we could get the inventory done and try to get some of the bookkeeping caught up, because Michelle's passing has really thrown us for a loop. And well, now it looks like it was the best time to close for a week because I got the Rona. You don't want to get the Rona. And
I sure don't want to bring it home to Rich.
No. And he was the first one that I was worried about because of his health issues. And I won't hang around Wanda with this. You know, I know she's had it, but man, I wouldn't give this to an enemy. And it's just miserable, but we'll.
And your mom is okay?
Oh, mom's feeling much better. They took her to the hospital, did a chest x-ray, and the doctor, and this is one of the few I'm going to praise this doctor. He said, there's not much we can do for you. Go home, take some Theraflu, some NyQuil, and write it out. He didn't try to give her some of this garbage that they're passing off. You know, now he could have given her some ivermectin, but instead he just said, go home and write it out. And a day and a half later, she felt better. So.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yep.
We were going to hit on a few things in Where's the Logic this week?
Yes, we are. And topic number one is the woke gender ideology. And you sent me an article, and this cracks me up because this guy is a flaming libtard. I'm just going to say it. His name is Ibram X. Kendi. He's pushed this critical race theory all over the country. He's written books about it, and he's been on national TV on all of the controlled media stations pushing this garbage. But come to find out, his daughter came to him and said she wants to be a boy, and he was shocked and unhappy. How funny is that?
And the thing is he went public with it too. And so now he's being fired upon because how dare he, you know, he let his guard down and talked about, you know, oh my goodness, what would cause my sweet little daughter to revolt against her girlhood and shun her sex? Oh my goodness. But, you know, as someone who pushes the critical race theory and all that, he's actually getting a taste of his own medicine with regard to the gender theory. So now it's like, well, why is your CRT good? But, you know, what about this other thing over here? Why can't she pick her own gender?
Yeah.
So it's what do they call that? Like biological existentialism. I can't even say the word. So now with this open society sort of thing. Oh, wait, that sounds like Soros.
It does.
suddenly she's getting to choose her own sex and gender. And they're having a conniption over it. So, but now they're being called on the carpet for it. They've got to accept her decision that she doesn't want to be girl anymore.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. My wife growing up was a tomboy. She climbed trees. She made mud pies. She had mud ball fights with her brothers. She was a huge horsewoman. And Jason Aldean's wife came out and admitted that she was a tomboy, and she caught a lot of flack for coming out and saying, I am so glad that my parents did not force a gender transition on me because I love being a woman. I love that I can give birth and have babies and be a woman now. I mean, how many people let their children choose what's for dinner? Let alone something as important as what sex they are.
Right. That's for sure. I was a tomboy too. I had three brothers. I got out there and played football with my brothers, you know, played cars with my little brother and, you know, built forts with them. And oh goodness, it's a good thing I wasn't reassigned either.
Yeah. You know, like I said, you're not going to let a 9-year-old set the menu because chocolate cake, as much as it's delicious, is not completely nutritious.
Right.
And how many kids would choose a dessert for a full course meal? I mean, we don't give them that option.
Yeah, that's just it. They're too young to understand it. That's the part about where's the logic in this. They're not old enough to decide a menu for dinner or to do so, to vote or anything, but they're going to make a lifelong life-altering decision. And this is like Dr. Rachel Levine, you know, the assistant, what is she, I get so confused over what to call them. I know Richard Levine, Dr. Richard Levine, as he was born and became a doctor, got married, had two children, and as Rachel Levine, Dr. Rachel says, I could not imagine not having had my children. But yet, Dr. Levine, that way it covers both Richard and Rachel, has no problem with allowing these children in their prepubescent and teenhood to make a decision that will permanently alter their ability to have the children whom Dr. Levine so dearly loves and could not imagine Dr. Levine's life without.
True that.
You know, I know it sounds kind of stilted the way it's coming out, but honestly, I really don't know whether to call him he wants to be called a she, but she was born a he.
Yes.
So I have mental difficulty, as well as spiritual difficulty referring to Dr. Levine as a she.
You know, something that puzzles me, if Richard got the degree, then how did the degree transfer to Rachel? Does he have a plaque on his wall that says Dr. Richard Levine?
That's a good question. That's a very good question.
Things that make you go,
Yeah, exactly. It just is completely incredible that God made all animals this way. And even in other cultures, they still have just a male and female. It still works that way. Why isn't there some other cultures in the Amazon forest where, you know, people have never seen them, where there's all these many different fluid genders, what, 68 of them or however many there are. In anthropology, when they're digging in the ruins and they find these people buried in the sands and what have you, they make a determination while they're there, this was a man or this was a woman, because even without their organs, even the skeleton is formed differently. You can't change all that.
No, you can't. But
in the morgue,
but
if you find a body floating in the river and the guy from the morgue comes to get the body, they tell you it's a man or it's a woman.
They look at the hips.
That's it. Even with all the organs and everything, it's still, they don't say, oh, this was one of the many 80, 68 different descriptions describing a gender. It's a man or it's a woman.
Right. And I know that there are some professors that have gone woke that they want the archaeologists to not claim male or female because there's no way they can know how they identified back then. There's a professor that published a paper on that. That is so stupid.
Right. The thing that gets me with this gender reassignment and surgeries and stuff, I think you and I brought this up in another program. There was a big hullabaloo at one time about, I think it's Islam, with the gender mutilation of women.
Right.
All the liberals and anybody with any common sense and heart cried out and shouted about the terrible genital mutilation that was happening to women. But now in the medical community, it's pushed. Yeah. I know someone, they've got a daughter, and the daughter is, I think she's 12 years old, and she's thinking that she likes girls. And I told that mama, I said, you need to be cautious of that because they're programming. They're pushing. Your child is not old enough yet. I mean, usually in puberty, any child is confused over what's going on in their body. You've got to let the child mature. Whatever they decide in the future, they'll be held accountable for, but they're not old enough to make that decision in their teens or prepubescent ages. Apparently, there's...
You know, the one thing that I see in the number of articles that I read, because I'm constantly chasing news, is the number of people, and male and female, that have transitioned to the opposite sex and cannot go back.
Well, that's not natural. They'll tell you that it's natural to change to the opposite sex, but it's not natural to change your mind to go back.
But, you know, if you look at, let's get back to the nuts and bolts. When Obergefell was ruled that same-sex marriage by the Supreme Court, they legislated from the bench once again that same-sex marriage was constitutional. It was protected by the Constitution. The first thing that the Mo's ran around saying was, all we want to do is be recognized for our beliefs. But behind the scene, many of them said that we are here to destroy the family.
And yes.
What has happened since? They have pushed transgenderism and homosexuality. Now, Disney has built a cottage industry, and it's costing them millions of dollars. But Disney has pushed this homosexual agenda in many of their movies and programs that they are hemorrhaging money left, right, and center.
Even in their parks.
Even in the parks. And so what was said back when Obergefell was passed by the Supreme Court, the destruction of the nuclear family was the main goal, not the fact that they wanted to have equal rights. They want to destroy the family. And now this gender ideology, there are teachers with tranny closets that parents know nothing about. Kids in elementary go to school, and little Johnny wants to be little Janie, so he goes in this closet, he puts on a dress and pumps, and he comes out. And then when he gets ready to go home, little Johnny goes in the closet and puts on his clothes, and he goes home.
Sounds like the teacher is actually pushing him in that direction. Otherwise, his parents would know about it, and it would be an okay thing, right?
You would think. But how many parents are going to react like Ibram Kendi?
I was just going to say that. I was going to say that exactly. They'll be just like Kendi and say, why are you, anyway.
Exactly.
They'll be so surprised that their child is opposing the sex that they were born.
That's called being a good parent.
Yeah.
You want the best, right. You want the best for your child. So you do everything you can to teach them morals and what's right, what's wrong. And then the socialists that are running the classroom are going behind your back and they're indoctrinating your children.
They're not even socialists. They're flat out monsters to be able to do that like that. And then the next step, of course, after we got the same sex marriage and now you've got all this so-called gender fluidity, now they are trying to drum up sympathy for pedophiles. These pedophiles, that's just who they are. It's an accepted way of living. So, you know, the guy down the street decides he's going to identify as an 8-year-old girl. Are you going to let him play with your daughter?
Exactly.
So it just, you know, it's been one step and it's been leaps and bounds downhill once the same-sex marriage got passed. It's been leaps and bounds downhill.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
like the proverbial snowball headed down to hell.
Very much so. But you can't say pedophile, Sandra. They are MAPs, minor attracted persons.
Oh. What's wrong with me? How insensitive of me.
Yeah, they're pedophiles. They need to be locked up and done away with.
Right. And along the same lines, you get these people like Sam Brinton, former Department of Energy Deputy Assistant Secretary. He went and was stealing luggage at the airports. He got this cushy job, but he's so messed up in the head with his so-called gender fluidity. He's got his bald masculine head and yet red lips and dresses and sparkly jewelry and sometimes facial hair, and he's stealing luggage from the airport. I don't know. I guess he knows how to spot the expensive luggage, because I know in Las Vegas, he's the one that he was arrested for there. There was over $4,000 of clothing and jewelry and makeup in the bag that he stole. So he must have quite an eye for the luggage and know that that's got expensive stuff in there. But it's a mindset. And that's the whole problem with all these sexes and the way they identify and everything. There's no logic to it. Where's the logic?
There is none. You're right. They are unhappy individuals that are just, they're reaching.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cry for help, but nobody,
it is.
Nobody gives them the mental help that they need.
Nope. Here's the thing here with the government. Some of the men, the women that have transitioned to men are not required to register for selective service. But the men who have transitioned to women or are transgender, they are still required to sign up for selective service, the draft.
Huh.
So even our own government is still confused.
That's because on your birth certificate, it says biological male.
Yep.
Oh, my.
So that's Tulsi Gabbard, I think, has introduced a bill intended to ban, and this is something that I have said has been wrong all along. She's at least speaking up. She's intending to ban biological males from competing in women's sports. There's no amount of drugs you can take or surgery that you can have that will make you, if you were born a man, that will make you at the same strength of what you would have been had you been born a woman. In other words, it's an unfair advantage. So no matter how many hormones you take to make yourself a woman, or a woman, even if she takes testosterone to become a man, she will not ever be as strong as a man. But at least Tulsi Gabbard, you know, she may still be a Democrat, or didn't she go to independent recently?
She did. She converted to being an independent.
Well, that's something anyway. But at least she understands that there is still, she's got some common sense anyway. She's got some logic.
She does. You know, when she ran for president, against the current resident we have, Biden, she made some very salient points and made me think that, well, if we got stuck with her, at least there would be a little bit of logic in the White House. It wouldn't be ideology 100% of the time. Common sense would break out, but alas, she was not part of the system and they got rid of her. But she has made a lot of sense. I've seen her a few times on with Tucker Carlson. And, you know, her beliefs do not coincide with the progressive side of liberalism now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was, the writing was on the wall with her becoming an independent. She doesn't need to be a Republican, because how many of those are progressives? I mean, the rhinos are rampant.
Oh, gosh, yes. That's for sure. Yeah, she's probably, the question is, as a libertarian, as an independent, can she get reelected?
Chances are slim and none.
Right. Yet she's gone ahead and put that on the line to potentially not be able to get reelected.
I'd vote for her. I would vote for her.
I would also. To me, it's not about party. We've already seen what's happened with the parties, and the GOP is such a mess anyway, with all the rhinos that are involved and the other ones that are closet rhinos, and then there might be a couple that are actually conservative.
Yeah.
I almost see if Biden wanted to get back in office, run for the presidency, because the GOP is such a mess, wouldn't surprise me if he could do it.
No, not at all. Because there's so much Trump animosity that they don't want anything to do with him. And I'm not saying Donald Trump was a great president, but he did a number of things to try to benefit Americans. He brought companies back. He brought manufacturing jobs back to America. What is the first thing that they've done since Biden took residency? They've jumped to Mexico. They've jumped to Canada. They've jumped to other countries around the world. And our manufacturing jobs are disappearing.
In a hurry. You know, we were talking about the Selective Service Registry. Also in the Marines, they're talking about, in the military, they're talking about getting rid of the yes sir and the gendered salutations, as they call it. They already did that in Hollywood. There's no actors and actresses anymore. They're all actors. They did it in the airline industry. There's just flight attendants. We must be neutral. Of course, there's a lot of male and female, so. But in this particular case, you won't see that movie where they're screaming, you know, where the drill sergeant is screaming in the guy's face and, sir, yes, sir.
Yeah.
What will they say?
It. Yes, it.
Will they just say, okay, sir, or okay?
Yes, 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 yes. You know, as a child of the South, I was raised with manners. And
that. And military, you were a Army brat.
Air Force brat, yeah.
Air Force brat, sorry.
But yeah, I was an Air Force brat, and I was raised, yes sir, no sir, yes ma'am, no ma'am. You held the door for a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
You're
just,
likely to get in trouble for that nowadays.
You know, Jerry Clyer was a hilarious comedian back in the 80s when I was growing up, and he talked about meeting a feminist in New York, and he held the door for her, and she got mad at him. And he said, let me educate you. My wife can watch TV laying down, propped up, or sitting up. She can watch TV in multiple rooms throughout my house. Mama doesn't want you messing with the good thing that she's got. And that is stuck with me for 40 years now, because how many women expect you to hold the door? It's a sign of chivalry and respect. And, you know, my son, one day we were going out to dinner, and he opened the door and he walked through, and I smacked him upside the head. I said, we don't do that. You will hold the door for your mother.
Yes.
And he was 30 years old, and I still smacked him upside the head because he had forgotten. No, we're not going to do that. You are going to respect your mother, and you should respect all women and hold the door for women. And
right. And
the lesson is stuck. My grandson tried that too. I smacked him too, but you know, everything's a teachable moment, and you got to keep working on them. We have already gone through 30 minutes.
Already?
Already. And that's probably a good thing.
But I'm not done.
Oh no, we got a whole nother 30 minutes to go. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. My guest today is Sandra Myers. We're going to take a brief pause. And when we come back, we're going to dive right back in. Stay with us, won't you? Hello, friends. Jerry Barrett back with you again. I want to tell you about an outstanding book written by Vince Everett Ellison. It's entitled 25 Lies, Exposing Democrats' Most Dangerous, Seductive, Damnable, Destructive Lies and How to Refute Them. This explosive book tells bold and uncomfortable truths about the Democratic Party. It uses historical fact, current events, as well as biblical principles to build to a shocking conclusion. As a young man, Mr. Ellison began his career in the belly of the beast. He was a prison guard working in the worst cell block imaginable. It housed mass murderers, rapists, child molesters, and others who would never be released. Mr. Ellison saw the face of evil up close. He knows it like few of us ever could. And it was to his dismay and sadness that he has seen the same evil later in his life. But this time, it's not in the faces of hardened, incarcerated criminals, but rather in the eyes of the leaders of the Democratic Party. In this stunningly persuasive work, Mr. Ellison marshals his own experience and couples it with a learned and original analysis to conclude that the leaders of America's Progressive Party aren't just wrong on their policy stances, they are deliberately and intently destructive. Mr. Ellison painstakingly dismantles the 25 lies underlying these Democratic policies and arguments. He provides readers with the tools they need to understand and refute these myths and deceptions. Finally, he implores his fellow Americans and Christians to open their eyes to the damage being done to the nation's heart and soul, all in the name of progressivism. 280 pages. $17 is all we're asking. Please add $5 shipping and handling. That'll make your total $22 for 25 lies. You need a copy of this book. It's very, very explosive. You can order your copy by phoning us toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-800-234-9673. Again, that's 1-800-234-9673. If you care to phone us on our regular line, that number is 512-263-9780. If you want to fax in an order, put in your name, address, charge card information, expiration date, and tell us you want this book, 25 Lies. Send it to us on fax. 512-263-9793. If you call during the day, our regular hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time. If you get a voicemail, please leave your name, number, and a brief message. We'll call you right back. It's just Sandra and myself, and so sometimes we don't get to all the phone calls, but we will check our voicemail regularly and call you back. I promise. Okay? We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. You can use these same charge cards at our secure shopping cart at powerofprophecy.com. powerofprophecy.com. There's an ad for 25 lies right there on the main page. If you care to send in a check, money order, or cash, please make your check or money order payable to Power of Prophecy, and you can mail it to us here at 4819 R.O. Drive, Suite 102, Spicewood, Texas, and our zip code is 78669. Okay, now let's return to our regular program. My guest today is Sandra Meyer. Sandra, welcome back.
Well, thank you, Jerry. Good to be back.
Now, you have brought up something that has been sticking in my craw for a while when they say that Social Security is going bankrupt. And I've been paying in Social Security since I was 14, so that's 46 years ago. And I've made
that's
the,
right.
Yeah, because I did hit the 6-0, and I don't know where the years went, but they're gone. But I have been paying in for 46 years, and I have told people over the years when we've debated this that I would take what I've paid in and what my employers have all matched into the Social Security system at simple interest and give me a great big check. And I'll live off of that. I won't depend on the government for anything. That would be a nice payday. But
that would be.
But they continually say it's an entitlement. No, I've paid into it. I'm not entitled to that.
See, there's the illogic of that is they call that an entitlement, but it's really not an entitlement. It's more like welfare and food stamps. Those are all things that the socialists think that they're entitled to. I'm here on this earth and you owe me a living.
That is an entitlement.
That is an entitlement. The weird thing about Social Security, you know, in researching this, I kind of sort of understand why they claim it's running out of money, but it's still not really. It's plus the fact that they're talking about lowering the payments on it too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Inflation goes up, but they're talking about paying less money to people. But my understanding is that it's done kind of by bond, and that's why, you know, it's kind of like what you put into it, that's all that there is. But of course, that doesn't account for the fact that our government owes a lot of money back to Social Security. They use it like, you know, it's their pocket to just hand out of the Social Security budget.
These most politicians have taken some base economic courses in college, and they should understand how money works. But it seems to me that when they get inside the Beltway, they lose every ounce of common sense. It was in the 70s when they came out and said, you know, our budget, we don't have enough money from the tax revenue. So if we add Social Security and Medicare into the general fund, then that'll offset what we're short with the taxes that we're collecting, and we'll have enough money to operate the government.
Right.
And that was the beginning of the end.
But yet, when you look at what they want to pay out in free college tuition, food stamps, welfare, Section 8 housing, and all of that, it just, what we paid out to Ukraine, they just recently okayed another however many billion dollars. I think we're up to about 68 billion so far. Here's the funny thing on that. We've given so much money to Ukraine that it's way outgiven to them over what we give Israel. What do you think the long-term effect of that is? Israel's probably going to be saying, you need to be giving us more money.
You know, I think we should shut the checkbook off to everybody that's not American. But they all have a handout.
Yes.
We're looking to send hundreds of millions, maybe billions, to the developing nations in Africa for this Green New Ordeal and trying to get them to convert to green energy. But we still have child labor issues with the kids in Africa mining for the minerals needed for these batteries for this green energy.
Yep.
We talk out of both sides of our mouth on this.
Well, that's just it. There is another thing where you go, where's the logic on this? You know, they do. The children, it's like the diamonds. There was finally a big hullabaloo about blood diamonds and the fact that there was slavery, child labor, instant death if you weren't performing up to what you were supposed to be doing, if you were suspected of stealing. It's going on. Plus the rape of the land, like we talked about in the last show of Where's the Logic? You know, they see a goal and nothing else matters. Nothing, there's no logic to the total picture of it. And then you have your free college that they want to do. Biden's campaign back in October of 2019 estimated that the free college that he wanted to do was about $750 billion. Where does this money come from? And then he denied it. And then Bernie Sanders got involved and they tried to do a College for All Act of 2017. He and Pramila Jayapal, I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing that incorrectly, they wanted tuition-free college for most families. And Sanders published a summary of the legislation along with projected costs. It turns out the free college education would cost, actually, it would be, I think it, for the, it would add like $470 billion to Biden's education plan over the next 10 years, bringing the total cost to $1.22 trillion. Free education is not very free. But that's kind of the next part of this also. You know, we were talking about, well, I'm going to back up and go to how much money we've given to Ukraine. We're talking about the Medicare. What about all this money that's being spent at the border for these illegal aliens that are coming in? They need medical care. They need housing. They need, you know, food. They need all this stuff. And they're coming over the border in droves. And that's costing billions of dollars also to resettle them in various places, as well as processing centers and the personnel needed for all that. But, you know, Social Security, we might have to cut back on, and Medicare cost more now. I think it was just this year, Biden gave the biggest cost of living raise to the Social Security recipients. But what did he do? He also raised the Medicare cost to those same recipients. So it kind of, you might have come out a little bit ahead, but then the inflation took all that too. It just, there's, if things were logical, things would be a lot better. But yeah, like I said, they get on a track, and don't confuse me with information and logic.
Yeah, I don't need reason.
They don't need reason. It's like the Green New Deal and socialism and, you know, just having all this money to hand out to everybody and anybody.
It seems to me politicians as a whole lack the wherewithal to understand that for this action that they're pulling right now, there will be a reaction, an equal and opposite reaction, just like physics teaches us. And there will be a reckoning when the bills come due. They don't have this money.
Nope. You know, I want to go back to the gender thing, how crazy it's gotten. We were talking a little bit before the show, and I wanted to bring this up. The gender thing has gotten so crazy that some men who are claiming to be women are inserting frozen tomato paste into themselves in order to mimic a period. This is how crazy and how illogical all this is. Honestly, sometimes I think this really comes down to people don't really respect themselves. They have become so devalued. That's what I think has happened in this society, that they have completely devalued. This is why tattooings and piercings and wild piercings and these horns that people implant in their head, why all this stuff is done is because there's no love anymore. The love is being taken away that God showed for his people. When you remove God from the equation, then the love starts to die. And people don't even like themselves anymore. And that's why they do crazy things like inserting tomato paste in order to mimic a period. There's no logic to it.
None whatsoever. They are on a whole. If you have no self-respect and no, well, this all goes back to the church. If the church would actually do the job that we were commanded to do, then we wouldn't have a lack of self-respect. We wouldn't have the total Sodom and Gomorrah that we are witnessing happen in this country now. The love of money has outweighed caring for your fellow man. There is no respect for each other.
And it starts at home, though, too. It's not just the churches. It starts right there at home.
It does start at home. And the churches, if the pastors would stand up and actually teach a message instead of tickling the ears of the pew sitters, then it would reach the parents at home. The parents would be involved. We've talked about this before, Sandra. When you go to a restaurant, how many kids do you see on a device at a table instead of interacting with parents?
Right.
You don't have that interaction. So the parents now, I mean, my generation, they used the television as a babysitter. And now it's tablets and cell phones and other devices and video games, and they're using a surrogate to raise their children instead of doing the job that they're supposed to do. And it morphs and it gets worse and worse continually downstream, generation after generation. And how many people will not go out to, a church, a picnic, and strike up a conversation with somebody, get to know somebody, maybe start dating each other. Now we're using apps on a phone, and now it's a temporary hookup, like Tinder is a one-night stand, basically,
right.
A one-night stand. The homo's got Grindr. It's just a meet, greet, get together, and then never talk to this person ever again.
Right.
And we don't talk to each other. You'll see people texting each other in the same room.
Yes. I've seen that within my own family. And it's like, really? Yeah. You can't even have a conversation with so many of these young people because they've lost, because of texting, they've lost the art of conversation. Anyway, it just, God's plan is, it was slipping for a while. Now it's flat out being programmed out of families and children and what have you, from kindergarten or daycare, even all the way through college.
Yes. We're not a happy people anymore.
No.
We have
That's
lost.
For sure.
Well, what was that song? We've lost that loving feeling.
Yep.
Whoa. It. That's where we're at. We have, and no, I'm not going to sing, especially with this cold, but we have lost, I wrote about this in one of my articles, the fact that there are no absolute truths. There was a survey done and 50-60% of the people said there are no absolute truths. I mean, that's where we're at.
That is where we're at. That is where we're at. And I think that's, that's kind of where the socialism is coming out of. And, there's no absolute truths except for the ones who said them, such as the Green New Deal and this, gender confusion and everything. Those things are because the media tells us this is so and the liberals tell us this is so. Those are the new absolute truths.
Yes. Controlled media, especially. They're the mouthpiece for the progressives. And we continually take what we see on television as the gospel. And, I've mentioned this and I don't remember who I had on was talking with, but back in the day when all we had was radio, people would gather around, the family would gather around the radio, and they would listen to the news. Mm-hmm. And they were able to discern whether this news report was truthful or not. They had developed a power of discernment to decide for themselves if what this reporter was telling them was the truth or if it was hogwash.
And if the reporter was talking hogwash, then they pretty much got drummed out.
For sure. They didn't continue listening to them. They got rid of them. So mm-hmm. with the advent of television and pictures, we're always told pictures are worth 1,000 words. So now we have started using, and I know that they have incorporated a lot of psychobabble in television programming to help indoctrinate people into believing this certain garbage that they're broadcasting.
Right. I mean, what we've talked about today is a perfect example of it, because you hear all these key words, you know, the gender dysphoria and all this other, you know, social constructs and CRT training, and all that comes in through the media. So yeah, it's being programmed at us there too. We were going to talk about socialism.
Yeah. If it's so great, why aren't people flocking to communist countries?
Right. Absolutely. But, you know, one of the things that gets me is some people will say that the Bible was socialist. You know, in Acts 2:44-45, where it talks about selling their stuff and redistributing it. That was that. You're right. It did happen. Obviously, it's in the Bible, but it is a story of a personal decision to do this, to sell your stuff and not be bound by stuff and redistribute it to those who had need. That is a decision of the heart. Socialism is a decision of the government. You know, the government taking from you and redistributing, and that is not what happened in the Bible.
No.
There's dignity in work. It talks in the Bible about, you know, those who refuse to work shouldn't eat. The workman is worthy of his hire. So there's nothing in there about the government taking from all the people and redistributing it. If anything, the government kept it for themselves and used it to fight wars and what have you, and to build bigger and grander temples and what have you. But socialism replaces God. And that's what's happened here, is people are like Bernie Sanders, they're envy. It's based really on envy. You know, you have that fancy new car and I want that too. I haven't done anything to earn it, but I want that too. So, hey, government, come over here and divide that car in half like Solomon and the baby. Divide that car in half because we should be equal.
Yeah. I know in Soviet Russia, back in the day, when a child was born, they were born to the state. They didn't have parents. The government owned that child.
Right.
And
it's basically true in China also.
Exactly right. They didn't have such draconian baby killing methods that China has, but they are one and the same in the fact that it is a ward of the state, and we will indoctrinate that child into our truths. And you will work in the factory for nothing, and you will have bread lines. And if communism was such a glorious method of government, why did Soviet Russia revolt against it?
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I mean, communism and socialism is just really, I think it's gained popularity because of the programming of the snowflakes. You know, they need their cry closet. They don't want to work for what they want. So they want to give the government the power to take it away from not the elite, because we won't touch the elite, but it takes it from the upper middle class and redistributes it amongst the poor and even the mid-middle class. And, you know, the snowflakes don't want to work for the things that they want. They might want the whatever, Jaguar or Corvette or whatever it is they want. But they're so hateful about the fact that they don't want to do the work. They just want to, you know, cry, go in their closet and cry, that they want the government. That's one of the reasons why they've given so much power to the government, is because they want the government to make everything right for them. And they're fooled into believing that the government will do that. And the government tells them that they'll do that. Yeah. It's kind of, you know, an illogical circle of things that, you know, these people, because they've been so programmed by the media and the government, they'll believe this, and they don't see the final circle where they're not ever going to get what they gave the government the power to take for them.
Right.
Does that make sense?
It does. It's totally illogically logical. It boggles my mind. I guess I have too much common sense to understand where they're coming from. But if you look at small businesses, fast food joints, the fact that they are begging people to come work for $15, $20 an hour to fling a hamburger. They can't get anybody to do it because it's beneath the snowflakes to actually have to go to work and do something. And, you know, I was programmed. I started working when I was 14. And
me too.
I didn't think anything about it. As a matter of fact, I started going to college and I was still working full time. And I had had enough of the education system that I didn't see myself completing my degree in journalism when I could go out and get a job and start making money and paying my own way. And, you know, I probably should have joined the military and used the GI Bill to get my education, but I didn't choose that route. But I have been working my whole life, and I don't understand.
But you work for that house and the 5 acres that you and Leslie are on. You work for, you know, the car that you drive. It's not big and fancy, and you don't go and get a new one every other year. We work hard for what we have, but these people, and they've been programmed by the mainstream media, believe that they deserve this without working for it.
Yeah, they deserve it. Well, you deserve what you get. If you don't want to put into the system, then you'll get your just rewards from that as well. You know, we've got all these kids flocking to colleges instead of going to a trade school. And all they're doing is racking up $200,000 in debt. Now they're begging the government to pay off their student loans and, you know, get a job. You know, you can flip a burger for $20 an hour now. Well, until there's a new McDonald's that is completely robotic, and that's where all the minimum wage jobs are going to go. And, well, you better have learned a trade on how to fix computers and robots if you want to get paid in the future. So that's your future, and it's coming faster than you think. And oh my, and mommy's basement isn't always going to be available. Sandra, that has taken care of an hour, and we have covered a lot of ground, and thanks for coming on and being a guest of Power Prophecy.
It's good to be here, Jerry.
Well, that's going to take care of our program today. Sandra and I have been talking about Where's the Logic. This has been Volume 2. Thank you for tuning in and giving us an hour of your time. I greatly appreciate it. And as always, I pray you will tune in again next week at this same time. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.